Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon on my favorite day in the weekday. It is Friday. Yay! I am so happy that it is Friday, and I hope that you are happy too. I hope that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever your weekend plans, whether you have plans with family or you're working or you're going to see family, if you have something difficult, you have something joyful ahead, whatever it is, I pray that the Lord will be with you. And I thank you for being here with us today. We have had such a great start to this year. I am so grateful for the guests that we have had. I'm grateful for the listeners who have written in and shared with us their stories, their testimonies. And I'm grateful to every one of you who has joined us for the 52 Habits for Healthy Families journey. We're just 6 weeks in. So how are we doing, friends? How are we doing? We've talked about prayer. We've talked about memorizing scripture. We've talked about going to church, which I hope you're doing this weekend. We've talked about using worship intentionally as a coping mechanism, as an atmosphere conductor, as an attitude adjustment. We've talked about practicing gratitude. And this week, in week six, we are talking about the power of a daily devotional. Now, you know, as I have been talking more and more, it is surprising, I think, to some people to think she is just talking about all of these basic things. I want to know how to have a healthy family. I want to have healthier relationships. When are we going to get to the good stuff? Well, this is the best stuff, friends. This is it. There is nothing else beyond the basic building blocks of these habits that is going to change your life, change your outlook, and really equip you to meet the day ahead of you and to give you hope in this world that seems like it is off its rocker. And the verse I'm meditating on and memorizing this week is from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now, on Tuesday, I talked the whole show about devotionals, how, when, where, why, and today I'm going to be talking a little bit about what. We've been talking about it this week. Monday, we had Rachel Adams, who has a devotional, Everyday Prayers for Love. Wednesday, we got to talk to Darlene Check, and for me, having spent so many years in worship ministry, and that was a real treat for me. That was really special. So if you missed that, go back and listen. We'll be featuring other guests as well, but it is so important in this world where we say, life is just too busy. I don't have time for that. That is a lie, friends. I'm just going to speak the truth in love because, by the way, that's my prescription for hope today is speaking truth in love. And the truth is that not one of us is too busy to have 5 minutes with the Lord every day. We are not that busy. We are choosing priorities is what we're doing. And setting aside time for a daily devotional, it might just seem like just another thing that you have to do. And then if you don't do it, you feel bad about it. But in reality, it is not just another task. It is a lifeline. I said this on Tuesday. Your day is going to be difficult. Your day is going to be immensely more difficult facing it without setting your heart, setting your attitude. So you're just choosing the path of difficulty. And I think I'm going to choose that 5 minutes, just starting there. If you aren't in a regular practice of having a devotional, I encourage you to start with just 5 minutes. It equips you to navigate life's challenges with wisdom. It transforms your home into a place of faith and purpose. And when you as families, whatever age and stage your family's in, commit to daily devotionals together, whether that's literally together or asynchronously, everyone doing their own, but talking about it, it cultivates a culture of prayer in your home. It cultivates a culture of gratitude, and it nurtures deep conversations that strengthen your relationships, that shape your children's heart. I'm talking about more than just personal growth. This is a practice that fuels a faith that overflows into your community, your church community, the community where you live. It challenges you to serve, to encourage, to uplift those around you. This is a strong daily connection with God. It doesn't just change your life. it radiates outward. It impacts your family and your faith community in ways you've never imagined. So if you are feeling like you're in a relationship rut, if there is conflict in your home and you are constantly trying to control other people's words, control their behavior, if you turn this focus inward, I promise you, God blesses that. And I told you on Tuesday that I would give you some specific recommendations, and there are so many recommendations. So I apologize in advance for all of the good ones that I'm going to leave out. But I do recommend, if you are connected into a church, to ask your Sunday school teacher, ask your pastor, your youth pastor, your children's pastor, whoever that ministerial person is, your priest, whatever it is, whoever it is that you trust, ask them for recommendations. And I'm sure they would be so glad to help you. But as I said, we have Rachel Adams from Monday. She has Everyday Prayers for Love, Learning to Love God, Others, and Even Yourself. So just with Monday and Wednesday, that's a great introduction to two devotionals. Darlene Check, her new devotional is called Testament, and it goes along with a worship album. So if you're interested in exploring that, that might be good for you. We're going to have a guest coming up soon named Brittany Ann, who has a YouVersion devotional. Now, if you missed that on Tuesday, that's the Bible app. There are devotional plans that you can sign up for free, and it will alert on your iPhone. You have a 5-day plan, you have a 3-day plan, you have a 14-day plan. And Brittany Ann has one called Fall in Love with God's Word, Practical Strategies for Busy Women. That's Brittany Ann on YouVersion. And like I said, she's a guest coming up on the show. We've also featured Jeff and Abby Land. They have a beautiful Advent Easter devotional, and it is a keepsake book. I actually just was able to see Jeff this week at a children's pastor conference, and their devotional is called The Way to the Savior. It's a family Easter devotional. So maybe that's something that you could pick up for this season. Is there something in this season of preparation for Easter? Well, if you have little kids, Jeff and Abby Land would be good. If you've got a preteen, we have had counselor Michelle Niedert, that's Nieteert. And if you are looking for these, you can go to our Facebook page for the show, and our producer is putting links on there for you. She has a great devotional called Managing Your Emojis. It's such a cute little colorful book that really helps walk through those emotions that start to just really run rampant in those preteen ages. So if you've got, you know, a 13-year-old that seems like they have 13 moods in 13 seconds, well, that might be a good resource for you. Last week, we had on Valerie Ellis. She told us about Let's Go Bible Adventures. So adorable. It is a Bible story, really, that you could use as a devotional for younger children, just different Bible stories that you could read every day. And she integrates modern vehicles into the story without disrupting the theology. There's a crane, there's a train, and it points to the truth of Scripture. So if you missed that show last week, go and listen. We actually read part of that online and modeled that for you to see. This is how we read to our little kids at home. Some of the other ones that stand out from past guests are Sharon Janes. Now that's Janes with a Y, J-A-Y-N-E-S. She has a lot of devotional books. We've featured one for mamas that was really good. And she just has such a way of talking in a way that's so relatable, just so life. So Mama Moments with God was the last one that we featured with her, and it was so encouraging. So maybe if you're a mom in the busy seasons of life, then that would be a good one for you. Another one that I really liked was Wendy Blight, B-L-I-G-H-T. She has a great devotional Bible study actually called Rest for Your Soul. That was, we featured that before. She told her powerful story, still one of my favorite episodes of all time, and one of the only episodes that actually brought my husband to tears when she was talking about just relating to our kids. But that one is Rest for Your Soul, a Bible study on solitude, silence, and prayer. Let me tell you, that was really intriguing to me because we do not live in a world that is very silent. And so to just feast in the silence is sometimes really, really good. Last year, we also had a guest on, Lauren Fortenberry. She has a beautiful devotional book called One Prayer Away. This would be great for teen girls, for young women, for any woman. It's a beautiful gift book. So if you're looking to gift somebody a devotional, that might be really good. Now, maybe you are classic. Maybe you are old school. If that's the case, then maybe you want to start with something like My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, or Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon. Those can be, that might be a good way to do. Those are short but very deep devotionals for starting and ending your day with scripture. And they're great if you want rich theological insights in a brief format. Some other guests that we have had that might be good, that you might want to consider, are Ruth Schwenk. Ruth wrote a book called Love Your Life Project, and that is a devotional journey if you don't love your life, or maybe you want to love your life more. We've had her on. You can go back and look in the show listings, and maybe that's one that would catch your attention. That is really my goal today, is just to catch your attention with something and to move you to action. Karen Eamon and Ruth Schwenk together wrote a devotional called Trusting God in All Things. So maybe you're going through something tough, and that would be a good one to pick up right now. Another one that really wasn't written as a devotional, but really resonated with so many of you listening, I know, because I heard from you, is Chelsea Ola Miller. She wrote a book after losing her mom called Now That She's Gone, and they're just short little vignettes that you could even start with. If you haven't started with anything, that would be really good. Now, some other resources for younger kids, maybe that 6 to 12 age, would be Indescribable. That's by Louis Giglio. That's 100 devotions about God and science, because we know that God made science. So it connects faith with science in a way that's really exciting and inspiring for kids. That might be really good. Child Evangelism Fellowship also has a series of books called Wonder Devotionals that are really easy to use, really accessible. That might be good for you. And for the men out there, a devotional from Dennis Rainey, Stepping Up, A Call to Courageous Manhood, a challenge for men to lead with biblical conviction. Whatever it is that you decide, I am challenging you right here, right now. Yep, that's you. I am challenging you to start a daily devotional and to start it today. Pick something. It really can be life-changing, but it requires intentionality. It requires consistency. So make sure that you're setting a specific time or place when you are least distracted, when you are at your best, in that place where you can focus and you know that's giving your body and your mind cues that this is time that you're doing that. Start with prayer. Just ask God to open your mind and your heart to His Word. Just a simple prayer like, Lord, speak to me through Your Word today. Help me to hear Your voice. Help me to apply Your truth to my life. That can set the tone. And engage with Scripture intentionally. Really, don't skip over the Scripture. Sometimes in devotionals, we tend to do that. Like, yeah, that's the Scripture. But make the Scripture the main thing and meditate on it and think about it. Incorporate worship. Listen to a worship song. Or if you're doing a devotional that's themed, I challenge you to create a playlist to go along with it. And there are some devotionals like Darlene Checks that have that already for you, but it will be a great reminder. And when you hear those themed songs, if you're doing one on gratitude or peace, it will remind you of the reading that you have. And then to continue our habit stacking, cultivate gratitude. Just keep a little journal where you just write down one thing you're thankful for each day. That's it. Just reflect on how God has been faithful. Write it in your devotional book if you want to. And then just respond with action. Just say, how can I live this out today? And just look for ways to apply what you've learned. Encourage someone with the uplifting word that you've gotten. Look for opportunities to share that. And listen, friends, stay consistent but flexible. If you miss a day, it's no big deal. Just pick up where you left off. Make it a habit. Remember, though, it's about a relationship, not just a routine. Well, I have talked a lot about devotionals this week, but it's so important and it has been instrumental in my family's life. When we come back, we're going to talk about the lives of those who are impacted by human trafficking. And I'm going to answer the question that I get every year at this time. Does the Super Bowl really bring a spike in human trafficking? I will have the answer for you on that, and also some really important information about teen dating violence when we come back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting me. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Oh, our God is with us. We will fear no evil. Cause you do impossible things. You do impossible things.
Welcome back, friends. That's Impossible Things by Chris Tomlin. And God does do impossible things. I have definitely seen that in my life, in my nursing career. And as those of you who are regular listeners know, I am an anti-trafficking advocate. That's what I've been doing in an academic space for the last more than 10 years now. And every year around this time, I get the question, does the Super Bowl really bring a spike in human trafficking? And this is the biggest sporting event in America that is going to happen on Sunday. And I'm sure a lot of you will be gathering with friends and family. And I do have an answer for you on that. And it might surprise you, because while large events like the Super Bowl, the World Cup, or even big concerts, they can create an increased demand for trafficking, here is the hard truth. Human trafficking is not just a Super Bowl problem. It's happening every day in every community, whether we see it or not. And what we know from research is that while the Super Bowl, events like the Super Bowl, they raise awareness, if we had that level of awareness, that level of resources poured into a community every day, we would likely find the same thing, because this is happening. It is everywhere, every community. And so the honest truth is that no, an event like this isn't increasing what is actually happening. It's just increasing your awareness of it. But listen, as followers of Christ, we are called to be light in the darkness. Proverbs 31:8 tells us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And Jesus himself made it clear that he came to set the captives free. And right now, there are millions of people, many of them children, who are trapped in captivity, in trafficking. And so many of these kids and traffickers, they prey on vulnerability. They use fear. They use threats. They use deception to maintain control. And there was a story that happened last year around that time, where there was a girl who disappeared from a professional sporting game, and it was all over the news, and people didn't know what to do. And basically what had happened, from what I read from the news reports, I'm just giving you my interpretation of what I read on the news. I didn't have any direct involvement in this case, but many, many cases like it. But this teenage girl had gone to the sporting event with her dad and had excused herself to go to the restroom and never came back. And she had had a history of running away, and so it was difficult to discern what had happened. And her parents eventually found her being trafficked in Oklahoma. And what had happened was she had met somebody outside the bathroom, and that person was looking for vulnerability and found it in this girl. And she asked if he had something to vape, and he said, yeah, come with me. And she just thought that it was going to be one thing, and it ended up being another. But here's the thing we have to know as parents, that all kids are vulnerable. All people are vulnerable, and it can be scary. But I did talk about this in depth on an earlier show in January. I talked about it on January 6th. So if you really want to know more about that, I encourage you to go take advantage of that resource there. But right now, as people of faith, what can we do about it? We are worried about it. Our awareness is raised because of the Super Bowl. And it's easy to feel overwhelmed. It's easy to think, I don't want to think about that. But listen, there are some very practical ways to take action. The first thing is to learn about it. So I've given a link for some training before. You can go to unboundnow.org, and there's some free training online there. There are a lot of other great places to get training as well, but that is one that I am familiar with. And knowing what it is and what it is not. If your knowledge is just based on a Hollywood movie that you saw, then really make an effort to get to know what is actually happening in your community. So look for some credible information that you can use to educate yourself. And then one of the best things that we can do, the most powerful thing we can do, is to pray. Pray for the people who are being abused. Pray for their healing, for their restoration. Pray for those working on the front lines, law enforcement, ministries, advocates, healthcare professionals, and pray for the traffickers too, that their hearts would be convicted, because prayer is powerful. And we believe that God is still in the business of setting people free. And that is an important thing to do. You can also protect your family. This is a great way. When you think, oh gosh, I'm thinking about trafficking at the Super Bowl, think, okay, am I thinking about the people in my own home? And the enemy is after the most vulnerable. And today, that is happening online. Trafficking is moving from the street to the smartphone. So talk to your kids about internet safety. Watch their social media. Be cognizant of strangers they can meet on gaming apps or online interactions. Teach them that not everyone is who they say they are online. And be vigilant, because love protects. We need to protect them from the strangers, from the people that they think are not strangers. They think that they know that they can meet online or in their circles. You can also get involved in your community. It is so important. Every community is a little different, and the different vulnerability factors that you face. And there are so many incredible organizations working in so many communities. And you may think, well, I have no idea how I could help. But there's so many ways that you can help. Every small act matters in this fight. So it may be something like donating things for go bags. So when I work with survivor advocates, what they do is they respond to a trafficking situation. That might be with law enforcement. That might be in the context of a healthcare setting. And they have a go bag that has simple things like underwear and a change of clothes and deodorant and basic toiletries, things like that, that somebody might need if they're leaving a situation that is just full of desperation. So can you organize those? Can you volunteer to put those together? They need volunteers to do that. I've worked with volunteers who've worked in juvenile justice education programs, or who have worked in the front office, who have worked at a 5K that's raising money for the organization. There are ways that everyone at every age and stage. So prayerfully consider whether that is something that you could do in your community. And the reality of human trafficking, it is really overwhelming. But here is the good news. Darkness never wins where God's people bring light. It's not just a justice issue. This is a spiritual battle. But we serve a God who redeems, who restores, who renews hope for tomorrow. And I have seen that over and over and over again. So as the Super Bowl approaches, don't just be aware for a weekend. Be aware for a lifetime. Be a warrior every single day. Pray, protect your kids, learn about the issue, engage and advocate. because when the body of Christ rises up, people are set free from so many different kinds of things that hold them captive. And that is really, really important. Now, when we talk about human trafficking, one of the things that I have learned as an expert in this space is that we need to be concerned about what we call upstream risk factors, things that lead to vulnerability for a trafficking situation. And one of those things that I am really concerned about is teen dating violence. I've gotten a lot of questions about this. Did a presentation for nurse practitioners earlier in this month, and it has just resonated and had so many questions because we're seeing this. We are absolutely seeing this in our communities. And it's a topic that feels uncomfortable, perhaps. And maybe you think, oh, that doesn't relate to me. I don't know anything about that. But as families, as parents, as people of faith, we just really can't afford to ignore it, because here's the reality. 1 in 3 teens in the United States will experience some form of dating abuse before they reach adulthood. That is 1 in 3. Now, I'm not just talking about physical violence. I'm talking about emotional manipulation. I'm talking about verbal abuse, digital harassment, image-based abuse, which is something that where people use images to have abuse and violence, and even coercion. And here's something more alarming. Of those 1 in 3 teens who will experience some form of dating abuse, only 1 in 3 of them, only about 33% of them, will ever tell someone. That means that most people are going to experience this and never say anything. Now, why? Why does this happen? Well, part of it is because of teen brain development. We've got the prefrontal cortex of the brain that makes decision-making and impulse control. It doesn't mature fully until the mid-20s. So sometimes this is not a failure of morals. It is a failure of decision-making. Sometimes their thumb moves faster on their smartphone than their prefrontal cortex in their brain to engage in decision-making. Now, you know what develops early is a part of the brain called the amygdala, and that's the emotion-driven responses. So we've got a lot of emotion coming at us with poor decision-making. So of course, that is going to increase vulnerability to peer pressure. It increases the risk for emotional decision-making. But also how God designed kids is they're looking for their identity. They want to be independent. They want to explore. It's good for them to make risky choices in some context because we want them to have healthy risk-taking. We want them to become self-sufficient adults, but we don't want them to be harmed. And we have increasing influence of peers and media on what is considered normal behavior in relationships. And I want to tell you, if you're not in this space regularly, if you don't have a teen, if you don't talk with teens regularly, what has been normalized more than anything else that is still very shocking to me is violence. Violence is normalized, and it is not normal. They need adults to say, that is not okay. That is not how relationships should look. We should speak that truth in love. And that is really important because what we see is actually a rise of online dating among teens. And we used to think that's for people maybe who graduated college or adults who are looking for relationships, but this is becoming an increasingly normal way for teens to connect in the context of forming relationships. And when you have a lot of emotions, not a lot of experience, and poor judgment, then it is really risky when they start to meet people. And that's something that is hard to talk through because it's not like that's a rational conversation, but that's where speaking truth and love in the context of a healthy relationship is really important. Now, I'm going to talk about some things really gently here, but you may want to censor for your younger or more sensitive listeners, because some of the things that are happening in the context of dating relationships are sexting. Now, a lot of times we think of that as just images, as just pictures, but many times what it starts out as is just text messages, just words. And then maybe it's audio messages. And then maybe it is a salacious picture, but not explicit. And then it goes to video content. So there's usually an escalation that happens here, which is why talking early is important, because once those images, once those words leave the possession of whoever has them, it is out in the world for anyone to see. And we're seeing a rise. The FBI has been talking about a rise in sextortion, and that is extortion for those explicit forms of communication, saying, I'm going to post this for revenge, post this to get you what I want you to do, post this just to blackmail you, to literally get money from you. There are rings of people who do this, a lot of them from other countries, and kids may think they're talking to someone they know online. But we have cyber stalking that's occurring. That's really scary, because when kids use social media, many of them don't use privacy settings. And there are ways to put a geofence around someone. There's ways to look at their geo map, to follow them where they are, to know where they are. And honestly, that's something that's been normalized too. Kids share location all the time. And in some contexts, that can be really healthy to know where they are. You know, I think about, you know, college roommates, keeping track of each other, those kinds of things. But to give someone your geolocation right when you first connect with them on social media, that is concerning. But again, it's been normalized, so kids don't see that. We also see the influence of pornography. That's so many unrealistic expectations about relationship and consent, normalizing violence. And so those forms can take, but teen dating violence, it can be abuse, it can be physical, it can be emotional or verbal, or it can be a digital abuse, an image-based abuse, using technology to stalk someone. So when you see those signs of concern, extreme jealousy or possessiveness, or isolating someone away from their family, their friends, their church, trying to control them through technology, constantly texting, tracking their location, demanding access to their social media accounts, insulting them, belittling them, making them feel worthless, and then threatening them or intimidating them, saying, if you break up with me, I'll hurt myself, or you'll never find anyone else. These are signs of concern. And here's the thing. In Christian communities, this can be even more difficult, because often faith is weaponized to keep someone in a toxic or abusive relationship. That dating partner might twist scripture around to demand submission or obedience, or insist that breaking up is unbiblical because God told me. But let's be clear. God does not call us to endure abuse in the name of love. So now that I've scared you, how can we protect our teens? I'm scared too, as a mom. Listen, there are ways that we can absolutely protect our teens. And when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about these strategies. What can we do to help our teens and ourselves develop and cultivate healthy relationships, speaking truth and love in those relationships? More on that when we come back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. When you hear
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead.
All the glory to the Almighty.
Welcome back, friends. That is Too Good to Not Believe by Brandon Lake and Cody Carnes. And that is my story here today for you. God is too good to not believe, even in the face of all of these terrible things that are facing us and our families. I have seen God work in mysterious and wonderful ways, and I know that He loves us and that He cares about us. And as we think about today's world, we think, how can we protect our kids? Well, I've got some hope for you today, and part of that is speaking truth to them in love, speaking truth so that they believe you from a very early stage. And I was talking about that actually last week with Jill Garner. We were talking about being honest with your kids and helping them develop a strong heart. And by the way, we're going to continue that conversation at a later show because I feel like we weren't finished. But it's so important to talk about healthy relationships early. I'm talking preschool age. Start talking to them about healthy relationships. Silence doesn't protect our kids. It leaves them vulnerable. So teach them what healthy, God-honoring relationships look like, built on respect and kindness and selflessness. When your spouse does something sweet, to say this, look at them and say specifically, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. I know I do that when my husband and I have arguments and we bicker or we fight and we apologize. I look at them and I say, I want you to pay attention to this. We are not perfect. We will fall. We will fail. We will fall down on our faces, but we will fall down on our faces at the feet of Jesus, and we will ask each other to forgive each other. We will ask God to forgive us, and that is a healthy relationship. I want you to know that neither of us is perfect. This is what healthy looks like. Be a safe place for them. Many kids don't speak up about relationship problems because they're afraid of getting in trouble. They're afraid you're going to cut off the relationship or forbid it or say, I told you so. Instead, create an open door policy. Tell them, you can always tell me anything without fear. You can always tell me anything. And then work on responding, not in anger, but respond with compassion. I'm sorry you're feeling this way. I'm here to help. And then walk them through it. Help them recognize signs of concern. Make sure they know the difference between love and control. Love doesn't manipulate. Love doesn't track them. Love doesn't demand obedience. Tell them about love from 1 Corinthians. Love honors, it protects, it uplifts. Encourage them to set those healthy boundaries and trust their instincts. But here's the most important thing you can do. Pray for your children. Pray for the children in your family. Pray for the children that you know. Cover them in prayer. Pray for their wisdom in relationships. Pray for discernment in choosing friends and dating partners. And pray for their protection from unharm. And if they are in an unhealthy relationship, pray that God gives them the strength to walk away. And sometimes they have to walk away from relationships that maybe they met each other in a church setting even. And that spiritual abuse in dating relationships, it can occur. It happens when one partner manipulates or controls or coerces the other partner by misusing their faith, misusing scripture, misusing religious teachings. Now, it can be very subtle. Or it can be very overt, but it distorts God's design for love and relationships. So I'm going to give you some key signs to look for. There are five that I want you to consider today that might be a sign of spiritual abuse. Number one is using scripture to control someone or justify harmful behavior, saying you have to obey, you have to submit, you have to be quiet, it is okay, this is righteous anger, or claiming authority over someone else's faith, making them feel guilty or unspiritual for disagreeing. Number two is isolation in the name of faith, saying we can't hang out with them, they don't support us, and this is something that God's doing. God told me you're meant to be with me, using that as a way to discourage breakup or healthy boundaries, or forcing their partner to only attend their church or their group, or discouraging any outside accountability. Just isolation is what happens. Number three is weaponizing guilt and shame, making that partner feel like they're failing God if they don't apply with their demands, and saying, if you really loved God, you would want to love me in this way, or you're not a good Christian if you're not trying to make me happy. Like, things that are just terrible theology, okay? Our kids need to be able to recognize that. Number four is claiming divine approval for their actions, saying, God told me to do this. I'm more spiritually mature than you. Or acting as if questioning them is the same as questioning God. That is not okay. And the fifth one is dismissing boundaries as unbiblical, just saying, no, there's no boundaries here. Love knows no boundaries. That's selfish. And guilt tripping them for their time or their space, or you need to spend every waking moment with me, and you need to be loyal to me and not talk to anybody else. Listen, I have seen teens in these kinds of situations, and they're very difficult to get out of. Very, very difficult. So if you see or know someone who is experiencing spiritual abuse, here's the thing. We need to honor our kids' voices when they come to us with concern. They may have feelings of uneasiness about a relationship, but not even have the language to describe it, because maybe it's starting off as really subtle. You need to honor that voice inside them and say, take this to the Lord. Let's see, what does God say about this? Let's pray about this. How does this line up with Scripture? And trust your kids' instinct that something is off there, whatever it might be. And here's where you can encourage your kids. Seek wise counsel. Talk to a trusted mentor or a counselor or someone. It may even be law enforcement that needs to be involved. Recognize that God does not endorse abuse. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not controlling or manipulative. And we need to empower our kids and ourselves to set boundaries and walk away if we need to. Relationships should strengthen our faith. They should make our faith flourish, not suffocate it. And pray for wisdom. Ask God to reveal truth, to give strength, and lead to healthy relationships that reflect His love. That is really what we want. And if you or someone you know is in an abusive dating relationship, there is help. There's a lot of different places for help, but the one I'll give you today is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That's 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. That's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And so often when we see maybe our kids who are in a relationship and maybe everything on the outside looks good about that, it can be really hard for us to say, oh my goodness, this is the truth of what is going on there. And we're more afraid of the social consequences than we are of the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual consequences that can be just as deadly, if not more deadly. And so we need to have that faith-based approach to relationships. We are called to guide our families in relationships that honor God and reflect God's love. And in this world where relationships are shaped by culture, they're shaped by social media, they're shaped by peer pressure, we need to equip our families with biblical wisdom and practical tools to build those healthy, God-honoring connections. That is so important. So again, here's some risk reduction. If you want to reduce the risk that your kids are facing, educate them. Teach them the difference between healthy, unhealthy, and abusive. And tell them a Christ-centered relationship is built on mutual respect, is built on kindness, is built on selflessness. Open 1 Corinthians 13 and ask them to compare those qualities with the relationship that they're in. And talk with them before they happen about signs of dating violence, because they may not experience it themselves, but they may see it in a friend, someone who's overly controlled, someone who has a partner who's excessively jealous or who's manipulative. Teach assertiveness and refusal skills for those advances that are unwanted. Tell your teens it is perfectly fine to set clear boundaries, to say no to anything that violates their comfort or faith. It is not rude. Even if it's someone, this is what happens when we see in abusive situations, because sometimes predators will seek out communities of faith because they know it can be easier to hide. And they think, oh, look at how I look like this spiritual leader. But we need to encourage our teens to have, and in any of our children, to have clear boundaries and just say no. Anything that violates their comfort or faith, it's not rude. It's a demonstration of self-respect. It's a demonstration of wisdom, of listening to that discernment that is inside of you, and then help them figure out the circumstances. Help them to figure out those what is going on there. Equip them with those responses to peer pressure. That's important. And just create a zone where you can talk about these things, friendship, dating, social pressures. And parents, I encourage you to role model and play out, role play some of these conversations. What would you do if somebody said this? And your teen, I promise you, will groan, will roll their eyes, will say, "Mom, that's so dumb." But they will do it, and it will prepare them. And that is our job. Our job is not to do it so that they have instant gratification. "Oh, thank you, Mother. You have now effectively prepared me to respond to any sort of situation where I might be uncomfortable. I give my undying gratitude." No, they don't say that. But that's not our job. We have the job of keeping our kids safe. And I think about Proverbs 15, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." So encourage them to seek wise counsel in their relationships. Other things that you can do just to generally promote a healthy sense of self is to look at them holistically, their mental health, their self-esteem, their emotional resilience. And I will tell you, the key to this comes from developing their strong identity in Christ rather than seeking validation to form their identity from other relationships. They need to know they are going to be rejected. They are going to be disappointed. They are going to be tempted. This is speaking truth in love. You will encounter these situations. Sometimes you will make the right choice, and sometimes you will make mistakes. And here is what you need to do. When you make the right choice, here is the path for when you make a mistake. That is so important. But having their identity in Christ, they are chosen. They're not abandoned. They're not forsaken. They are the apple of God's eye. They are a masterpiece created by Christ, by God himself. That is absolutely amazing. But on the practical side of it, empower your teens to use technology responsibly. And listen, as we get into the summer, that's when we'll be talking a lot about tech. We'll be talking all about keeping kids safe, but you can go back and listen to a lot of past shows where I talk about this all the time. We can't talk about it enough. I get questions every single week about privacy settings, about should my kid be on social media? The short answer to that is no. Delay it as long as possible. But especially today, let's consider the context of online relationships and talk with your kids about that. What are the boundaries of relationship? You know, one of the things that concerns me is that teens often, they'll have, before, you know, you'd have to talk on the phone that was in the long cord in the kitchen in front of the whole family. You're not going to say too much, but in the privacy of your own room with a phone, that can be really, really a dangerous place to be. But listen, just to get started today, pray together. Set boundaries together, those dating guidelines that honor God and encourage purity. Stay involved with your kid. Know who they're spending time with. Maintain open, ongoing conversations and nurture their Christ-centered friendship. Invest in those friendships. Be the house that everybody can come over to, even if it's cluttered. And we have help for that too with our declutter diaries. That is just an excuse. Kids don't care about that. They want to hang out in the place where they're loved, where they're wanted, where they're safe, where they're affirmed. Be that place. Invest in their relationships and lead by example. Show healthy communication and self-respect and faith-driven decision-making. You can help your kids develop healthy, faith-centered relationships. That's one of the greatest gifts that you can give them. And as they navigate all of this, remind them of their worth in Christ, their call to honor God in all their relationships, and the importance of setting boundaries that protect their heart and their future. You can do it with open communication, biblical guidance, respect, and love. and you'll have me cheering you on right here. I promise. Listen, as you have these conversations, as you pray about these things, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And I can't wait to see you back here Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.